This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappan Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Mediocre Meteorology here at Car Talk Plaza. This is serious stuff. Pay attention.
Pennsylvania has this stupid little tradition about this punksaholic Phil, the drunken little rodent that comes up on February 2nd and predicts the weather. Well, it's about time someone exposed a little sham for what it actually is, and I'm the one to do it.
Oh, aren't you?
First of all, they say that if this weasel... It is a weasel. Grandfather's a weasel, isn't it?
Sure.
If this weasel doesn't see a shadow, there will be only two more weeks of winter. Come on. I mean, when was the last time winter ended here in New England in the middle of February?
Or Pennsylvania, for that
matter. Or even Pennsylvania. It never ends in February. And here's the other bogus part of the gopher charade. They say that if Punxsutawney Weasel doesn't show his shadow, there will be at least six more weeks of winter. Now, they're predicting that it's going to be cold around here until the middle of March. I mean, duh. I mean, are they climbing out on a limb here or what?
Maybe.
It's always cold here in the middle of March. I mean, it's like predicting that you're going to say something stupid.
Or that you're going to remember last week's puzzler.
Exactly. What was last week's puzzler? Anyway, we have to come up with a better tradition. We need our own meteorological predictor. We're going to do it next year at the beginning of February. We're going to breed some little rodent of some kind. We already have a couple on the staff. And we're going to predict next February 2nd whether winter will last another 10 weeks. Another 16 weeks. Because we know it's going to last 6 weeks. And we know damn well it ain't going to last 2 weeks. Right?
Right. Right.
I was thinking we would have, like, hibernating Bugsy. And when Bugsy comes out of hibernation, which he does all winter, if he sees, like, what would he see when he come out of hibernation?
He'd see a free lunch.
If he sees a free lunch, that's it. If he sees a free lunch, it's 16 more weeks of winter. That's it. I'm working on it. Where is Bugsy? He's asleep.
Well, that's great. Does that mean you don't have any mail to read? We can just go right to calls?
I don't have any mail.
Okay, 1-800-33.
I got one little
piece. No, save it. You may need it for next week. You never know. I mean, next week.
Fine. I don't have any mail.
If you'd like to call us with a question about your car, our number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ro. I'm calling from Seattle.
What's your name? Wait, Ro as in like row, row, row your boat?
Yeah, pretty much. It's actually short for Rowena.
Oh, Ro.
It is row, row, row your boat. You are the third Rowena that I know in the world. One
really?
Was Ivanhoe's girlfriend. Isn't that right?
And you knew her because you were around then.
I was there then. Right. I was the third one in the triangle. And I know one other Rowena, and you're number three. It is not a very common name.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you know it.
And you're stuck with it. But that's all right. No, it's good actually to be stuck with an uncommon name.
Are you British?
No, but my mother is.
Ah.
That would explain it.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, Rowena.
You don't find any little Italian girls named Rowena. No.
No. Rosa, maybe.
Rosa. Rosawina. Yeah, so where'd you say you were from, Rowena?
Seattle,
yeah.
Anyway, what's up, Ro?
It's actually not my car, but it's my friend's car.
Of course.
And it's sort of an embarrassing problem, is that he lent me the car for 3 months because his job sent him out of the country.
Oh, I can see it coming now.
You burned his clutch out. What else did you do?
Well, and I mean, he knew what he was doing because he knew I'd never really driven stick much before.
You burned his clutch out.
Did you really?
No, actually, I didn't.
Oh.
But every time I'd start the car, I'd be really, like, I'd have to think everything through, and I'd put it into first, and I would, you know, be thinking about it. And I would be spending all this time thinking about my feet that I always forgot to take off the parking brake.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
And I usually wouldn't realize this until I'd driven around all day long.
Oh, it must work
somewhere.
Really well, then.
And, you know, and I would, like, park and try and put it on, and it would already be on.
You say, whoops.
And you didn't notice as you were driving around?
Well, I would notice, but I always thought that it was just because I wasn't very good at, you know, like,
and you said,
it seemed to take a lot of gas to get the car going,
yeah,
you know?
This guy's got no power.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I want to know is, did I ruin his parking brake?
No, forget that. More importantly, did you tell him about this?
Well, no. First, if it doesn't affect the car at all...
Then you're not going to tell him.
Right. Then, well, of course, now he's going to hear it on the radio, but...
Well, no.
He's only going to hear it now. He's never going to hear it.
Yeah, when's he coming back?
Well, he actually came back a couple days ago, and he got the car back, and I didn't mention it yet.
You didn't,
did not mention it yet.
And, of course, he doesn't know that you're making this call.
No, but no. I think I'm going to have to tell him. I think
you don't have to.
You don't have to tell him. No. I don't think you have to tell him.
Well, have I? I mean, should I tell him to go in and get his parking brake fixed? Or
here's what you do. You tell him you had a dream. Yeah, look, I had a dream that you lost your regular brakes and you were flying down this hill at high speed and you went to apply the parking brake as an emergency brake and it didn't work. And you crashed. And I don't know what this dream means, but I think you ought to go and have the emergency brake looked at. Mm. How does that sound?
Well, it's good, except the timing is bad. I mean, she just gives him back the car 2 days ago.
Well, you have to take your chances for a week or so. Don't say anything for a week or two.
Okay.
The truth is that...
And then do the dream thing.
He's never going to notice this. I mean, between you and us, Ro.
Right.
I mean, he's never going to know this.
Right.
And I thought, and his regular brake seemed to work fine, so...
Yeah.
I mean,
how many times did you do it?
Every time?
No, but a lot. More than I'd like to admit.
Did you notice an accompanying aroma when you drove the car? A slightly offensive, burning smell?
No. Well, that was only the very beginning when I was, Seattle's pretty hilly, and when I was trying to learn how to drive stick uphill
when you were burning the clutch out. You smelled the smell. But you didn't smell
the
smell.
But that only happened once in the very beginning. But I never heard. There's never another smell after that.
Well, the way I look at it is this.
Yeah, I can hardly wait.
I mean, he obviously took his chances when he lent you the car.
Right. It's a 1980 car.
Oh, it's a heap.
Oh yeah, when you put it in that light.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? It was gonna be a Datsun or something, right?
Wait, where was he for these 3 months?
He was in Australia.
On some kind of a junket.
It's a work thing.
Oh, yeah, work, sure. Yeah, he was living it up like Don King. He leaves his old jalopy with you, hoping it'll break down, and you will feel responsible for whatever happens to it and fix it.
How close a friend is he? I mean, are we romantically involved here?
No, it's just a friendship thing.
It's just a friendship thing. How much do you value this friendship?
Well, these things
are all important.
Well, there's another issue here, which is that his dad's going to send him to Australia again. And I don't have a car, so...
Oh, you want the car?
Right.
Well, here's what you do. You say, if you want me to drive that car for you again...
Fix the e-brake.
Either fix the emergency brake or I'm not gonna drive it.
I think that's
Did you ever actually have to use the handbrake on a hill?
No. Yeah.
And it worked,
and
right?
And it worked?
Yeah.
The truth is that you didn't do any damage to the handbrake.
Right.
If you did any damage at all, it was to the actual brakes. The foot brakes.
How would I damage the foot brakes?
Well, they're one and the same.
Oh.
What kind of a car is this?
It's a Honda Civic, 1980.
Yeah, the emergency brake operates the rear brake shoes, which are operated hydraulically when you step on the brake, but by a cable when you pull on the handle.
And if you drive with the handbrake sort of on, and it had to have been just sort of on, otherwise you wouldn't have moved. I mean, if it weren't, the idea is that it's supposed to keep you from moving.
Right.
So it wasn't really working very well, which means you didn't have it pulled up all the way. Which means that you probably glazed the brake shoes.
Well, actually, on light cars like Honda Civics, you could actually lock up the wheels and drag the tires along.
Maybe you did that.
And wear flat spots on the tires. You wouldn't even know it.
I've done that. So you probably just, all you did really was you wore out the real brakes, which in fact is not good because it will. If they really are glazed badly, it means they don't stop as well.
Right.
Which means I have to retract my earlier piece of advice, and I think you should tell them.
Okay.
But just tell them, I think there's something wrong with your brakes. You don't have to tell him the whole story. Because I can gather that this is not a very dear friend. And
right.
If he had an accident and got offed, who cares?
Yeah.
you should tell him, I think you should check your brakes. And if someone does check the brakes and finds out that they're terribly glazed, he'll need new brakes.
Yeah, I think you should lay all
like
the blame on him.
Tell him
that you were terribly perturbed that you had to drive this car for 3 months with malfunctioning brakes.
Yeah.
And if he wants you to drive it again when he leaves,
then he should have it checked
out and fixed.
Yeah.
Good luck, Ro.
All right, thank you.
See ya.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
It's giving you that sound advice every week.
Truthfulness is, I mean, honesty.
Truth, it's overrated.
Hey, we've got more calls and, ready for this? The Puzzler answer coming up right after this, so don't go anywhere.
on NPR's Throughline.
We cannot function for 24 hours without cobalt because it's in our smartphone, our tablet, our laptop. And as a consequence, the lives of the people living in that part of the Congo descended into just a catastrophe.
Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. How many weeks of winter are left? Two or
16.
Six?
16.
Do you remember last week's puzzler? I know you
do. I remember last week's puzzler? Actually, we had a whole new... In fact, I have her letter right here. She changed everything. She changed everything. Kathy Elias from, where are you? Havertown, Pennsylvania, changed the puzzler.
Well, enlighten us a little
bit. I'll enlighten you because what Kathy said, and I'll have to paraphrase because I don't want to read her letter all over again.
Oh, no, please.
She said, we don't understand there's a substantial population of people who did well on fill in the blank, who never did well on fill in the blank questions at school, but were able to pass tests strictly based on being able to BS their way through on the essays. And she realized that all of our puzzlers are left brain puzzlers. And she said, what about us right brain people? So we introduced for the first time a left brain and right brain possible answer to the puzzler. And of course, I remember what the puzzler was because it was unique and it was groundbreaking. And
we'd already used it once.
And
we'd
already
20
used
years
it
ago.
Before anyway. Right.
All right. Here it is. Three guys check into a motel for the night. They approach the clerk, and he tells them that the room costs $30. Now, they're all going to share one room, so they each pony up $10, and they go to their room. 10 minutes later, he realizes that they were having a special, and in fact, the room was not $30, but instead was $25. So he gives the bellboy 5 singles and tells him to return it to the guys in room 7 because he inadvertently, overcharged them.
Yeah.
He considered keeping the money for himself, but he figured somebody might notice. So on his way to the room, the bellboy says to himself, these three bozos look like
a couple of morons to me.
Look like real knuckle scrapers. They're never going to be able to divvy up $5 among the three of them. I'll just keep 2 and give them $3, and they'll never know the difference.
Right.
So that's what he does. He says, here's the $3. You're overcharged for the room. The room was really only $27. Thank you very much. And he leaves and, of course, pockets $2. And here's the question. Now, they each spent $10 to start off with. They get back $1 each, so they each spent $9 in the room. Right?
I got it.
Right? They each spent $9 for a total of $27. Plus the $2 the bellboy stole, that's $29. What happened to the other dollar?
Beats me.
They started with $30. They got $3 back, right? Which means they spent $9 a piece. That's $27.
We got it.
$2 the bellboy stole is $29. Where's the extra dollar?
Maybe it's dollar day.
So that's the question for the left brain audience. Where did the dollar go? And the right brainiacs in the crowd were asked to address such issues as, what are three men doing sharing one hotel room?
Anyway.
Where can you find, not that there's anything wrong with
not
it.
Not that there's anything wrong with
where
it.
Where can you find a hotel that costs $30 a night and in fact is on sale for $25? And three, should the bellboy be making decisions about whether other people can divide $5 among three people? And should the bellboy be tried as an adult or a juvenile?
Exactly. I mean, these are all, I presume, essay-type answers, right?
Yes.
So
now we're going to answer the left brain question this week and the right brain responses at a later date because they're pouring in. They're pouring in. And the answer to the left brain part of the puzzle is, well, there is no missing dollar.
There isn't.
Well,
of course not.
This puzzle was guilty of obfuscation and misleading
of the first order.
Statements.
Oh, must have been right up your alley. You must have loved this one you heard.
I did say that they spent $27, the three of them, $9 a piece. That's $27. And $2 for the bellboy is $29. But I lied.
You did. I certainly did.
They indeed spent $27. They spent $25 for the room.
And $2.
And $2 for the bellboy.
And so adding the $27 and the $2.
They spent $8.33
totally
each for the room, which brings us to $25. And each donated unwittingly 67 cents to the bellboy, giving the bellboy $201 and the room $24.99.
Back down.
Close enough. Do we have a winner? Well, of course we have a winner. And I think I resolved not to ask that question anymore.
You're supposed to say, just like you're not supposed to say.
Who's our winner this week?
That's it. Where are you from? We have a left brain winner. But we're going to have to read the right brain winner's answers and read the winning answer next week on the air.
Maybe next week, or maybe never. Never worked for you?
Never works for me. All right. We do then. The winner of the left brain portion of this week's Puzzler is Debbie Bedall.
Bedall sounds good to me.
From Royal Up. What? R-O-Y-A-L-L-U-P, Royal Up, Washington.
It's like roll up.
Yeah. And for knowing where that extra dollar did not go, our pal Debbie gets her very own copy of The Best of Car Talk, Volume 1. By the way, we're already working on The Best of Car Talk, Volume B, : The Libelous Statements.
Libelous Years.
Libelous Years. That one will be out later on this year.
Anyway, if you don't have your very own copy of The Best of Car Talk, Volume 1, you can get one through Car Talk's Shameless Commerce Division, whose new, easier-to-remember phone number.
Oh, what's this?
You ready for this?
Yeah.
303-823-8000.
That is easier to remember.
303-823-8000. Oh. More importantly, we have another.
Yeah.
Right-brained style. Puzzler, I believe.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, this changes the complexion of the Puzzler somewhat, too. And in our never-ending quest to improve the Puzzler, and God knows it needs improvement, we are looking for new avenues.
Yeah, well, I think Kathy Elias will go down in the annals of Car Talk Puzzledom.
Well, you'll see with the new puzzle that's coming up in Part B of the show.
Okay.
In the meantime, you can call us at 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Tim in St. Louis.
Hey,
how
Tim.
How you doing?
What's happening?
Good.
Good.
St. Louis.
Well, I have a 1988 Mazda 323 hatchback.
Yeah.
And it's been a great car. I've got 100,000 miles on it. But my problem started about 2 years ago. I was coming home from a long trip to West Texas. And as I was coming into Houston, I had about an eighth of a tank of gas left.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to run out of gas. And that was pretty unusual because usually the car is pretty good about, you know, being able to go all the way down to E.
Yeah.
But so I pulled over and I got gas, and it turns out that my tank was not, in fact, empty. And as the past 2 years have gone by, this is gotten worse and worse. It runs out at a quarter of a tank and a third of a tank, and now it's up to about half a tank. So
that's good.
I get funny looks when I'm out on dates and I've got, you know, half a tank left, and I tell them I'm running out of gas.
Yeah, they don't believe it.
No, they don't.
You want to know what the answer is?
Yeah, why is it getting worse and worse? This is good. I can't say that I've ever heard of this happening before.
Oh, yes, we see this all the time.
I know why it's happening, but I can't say that I personally have ever evidenced.
Well, we're going to give Tim a chance to take a guess here.
Yeah.
What do you think is going on there, Timbo?
Well,
he knew when he wastes his time calling us.
I've been thinking about perhaps whether my gas cap should be vented or not.
All right, it isn't vented, and that's not the answer. So gas cap.
That was very good.
We're gonna give you the proverbial three guesses. So you got one strike.
Okay. Right. Is it something to do with the gas cap? No.
And I was thinking that maybe it had something to do with my fuel filter, and I replaced that.
Ah, that's good, but that's wrong too.
Okay.
Well, it could have been. That's close. It's close. But you're getting warm, man.
I know it's my gas gauge is accurate.
Yeah, I believe that.
Because when it says half, you only can put in 5 gallons of gas.
Perhaps is my fuel pump weak?
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yeah, I believe it's your pump. And the pump doesn't have the ability to suck the gas out of, I don't know where the pump is located in this. It's probably in the tank. In fact, I'm almost positive it's in the tank. And it has to suck the gas up from the bottom of the tank, and it can't push it all the way. As the level drops down, it has more work to do. And I'm surprised it's lasted this long.
Okay.
It could also be some restriction in the pickup. Mm. You know, there's a sock on the end of the,
fuel pump. I like that answer, too.
But if you're going to go through the bother of replacing that, put a new pump in, because if I'm not mistaken, you have to pull the tank out of this car. But I'd be willing to bet the pump is weak. If you have it tested, you'll find out that it's reading low. And you should have it replaced.
Oh.
You were at work, huh? What do you do for work?
Well, I'm a graduate student at Washington University.
Oh, so you're running, you're running the Xerox machine.
No, he's in the computer lab.
Biology.
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 Yeah. Yeah. What's that noise in the background?
That's a water filter.
Water filter.
Yeah,
filter. Okay. All right. What are Newton's four laws?
Gosh, I don't know.
All right. Well,
perpetual motion.
That's good. Perpetual motion law is good.
Every body in motion tends to stay in motion.
That's who? That law of inertia, yeah.
Yeah.
Acted on by an outside force.
Good.
Yeah. This is good. See?
For every action, there's
equal and opposite. That's another one.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
Equal and opposite reaction. That's two. That's two valid ones. And one man's trash is another man's trash.
There you go. See you later, Tim.
Okay.
Good
thanks
luck.
A lot.
Enjoy your new fuel
but,
pump.
But have it fixed because it's gonna die completely and you're gonna be stuck somewhere in West Texas, God forbid.
Okay. Great.
And what the hell were you doing in West Texas? But that'll be another time.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hey, stick around for more calls and the new puzzler coming right up.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator from Planet Money podcast on NPR.
If you've never donated to the NPR network before, that's okay. Public radio is available to everyone for free. But we do rely on listener support from those who are able to give. So join the community of supporters for Public Media Giving Days, coming up on May 1st and 2nd. Please give at donate.npr.org, and thank you.
If you're a business owner, you know these sounds mean sales. And from the sound of it, your business is growing. Whether you're fulfilling orders from your home office or warehouse, Stamps.com helps you stress less about mailing and shipping and spend more time doing what you love most. Listening to ASMR. I mean, growing your business. But as you grow, so does the need for efficiency. Stamps.com simplifies your shipping and mailing process. Import orders from wherever you sell online. Find the lowest rates with the fastest delivery times. Instantly deliver tracking updates to your customers. And buy shipping and mailing supplies when you run low. Save time and money on mailing and shipping. Get started at Stamps.com today with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
Hello, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and of all things, foreign aid.
Yes, and this comes to us by way of the news desk.
Beep, 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 beep,
to
beep,
our
beep,
buddy,
beep,
I believe,
beep, beep.
By looking at all the to's and from's here, George Preston. Here's the news. Clinton deploys vowels to Bosnia. Cities of Zbrzvetsk and Grozny to be the first recipients. Before an emergency joint session of Congress yesterday, President Clinton announced U.S. plans to deploy over 75,000 vowels to the war-torn region of Bosnia.
Really?
The deployment of the largest of its kind in American history, will provide the region with the critically needed letters A, E, I, O, and U, and is hoped to render countless Bosnian names more pronounceable. Here's a quote. He said, Clinton said, for 6 years we've stood by while names like Jugoslavia and Zlidnia and Glum have been horribly butchered by millions around the world. Today, the United States must finally stand up and say, enough. It is time the people of Bosnia finally had some vowels in their incomprehensible words. The U.S. is proud to lead the crusade in this noble endeavor. The deployment, named Operation Vowel Storm by the State Department. Who writes this stuff? I mean, it's
well, it is.
It's so
much needed.
It's set for early next week with the Adriatic port cities of Zbudzigutz and Grzindi. The two C-130 transport planes, each carrying 524 count boxes of E's. We'll fly from Andrews Air Force Base across the Atlantic and airdrop the letters over the cities. The citizens of Grzni and Zvijuzic eagerly await the arrival of the vowels. My God, I don't think we can last another day, said Zvijuzic. Said Trushki Gurechka. I have 6 children and none of them has a name.
None of them a vowel among them.
Said Zimbabwe resident Grugs. With just a few key letters, I could be George Humphrey. This is my dream. The airdrop represents the largest deployment of any letter to a foreign country since 1984. During the summer of that year, the U.S. shipped 92,000 continents to Ethiopia, providing cities like Awawua, Ayolia, and Ao with vital life-giving supplies of L's, S's, and T's.
I'm sure we will hear letters of complaint from the international community. Yes, indeed.
It's great.
But it's all true. I mean, it's like the true. Weekly World News. I mean, it's not a false statement there.
Not a false statement there. That's very clever.
All right, it's
I don't
time.
Know who wrote this? Who really wrote it? I don't know.
All right. It's time for our new.
Yeah.
New puzzler.
New puzzler, yes.
Well, new and different puzzler.
Okay.
And what's different about this puzzler is we don't know. Well, I guess that isn't so very different, is it?
No. We don't know the answer. Is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here it is, and it's a puzzle that's going to encompass many weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And when you find out what. And
well, I mean, I think this is a nice combination of left and right brain.
Oh yes, no, this is not entirely a right brain puzzler.
No, not at all.
No, in fact, this will probably appeal more to the left brainers, although the right brainers have a shot at it.
But I think it will appeal more to the left brainers, but the right brainers will be better at it.
We shall see.
We shall see. In fact, when you send in your answer, just put a little L or an R
or an N.
No brainer. Up in the left-hand corner of the $20 bill. Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to just
half brainer. Isn't that what you do off the diving board? That's a half
brainer, right?
All right, here it is. As we all know, there are probably thousands of automotive terms, words associated with automobiles. We are looking for those few, those precious few, whose synonyms.
Okay, no.
Whose secondary meanings?
The non-automotive.
The non-automotive. Right. We're looking for those few whose non-automotive meanings are synonymous with another word,
which is a part of a car.
In the car, another part of the car.
You've made this very clear so
far. Okay. We're looking for
two words.
We're looking for two words. We're looking for pairs of words.
That's good. I like that.
Pairs of words.
I'm glad you rehearsed this before we actually like go on the air. You think about this in advance.
All right.
No, that's
here
good.
Here we go. We're looking for pairs of words.
Pairs of words.
Of parts or systems or whatever of your car or anyone's car. Okay?
Yeah.
Whose secondary meanings happen to be synonyms. And I'm going to give an example.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah. Tire.
Mm-hmm. It's a part of a car.
An exhaust.
Part of a car. And
okay.
They mean the same thing.
Right.
They're two parts of a car, and they are synonyms.
So the non-automotive meanings.
Right. Are synonyms.
To tire and to exhaust. Okay, got that?
Got
okay.
it. This is very good.
Okay, and their automotive meanings have nothing to do with each other whatsoever.
That's right. But okay. They might. We don't care.
I'll give another example. Yeah. I'll give another good example, and then I'll give
a lousy
an unacceptable example.
Yeah.
Booster.
Yeah.
And fan.
Ooh, excellent.
Okay, now you realize that you didn't have to use the term for the booster might be vacuum assist booster, but you can use a piece of the term.
Sure, anything.
Or the colloquial use.
Yeah.
Booster is used all the time. And the fan is, you know, the cooling fan or the heating fan or whatever. You can use just one portion of that. And the example that Doug and I, one of the examples that Doug and I came up with was cable. There are many cables in your car, a throttle cable, a brake cable, or whatever, and transmission.
Yeah, which I said.
Which Tommy said was unacceptable.
It is.
Well, okay.
Because they are not synonyms. They are certainly not synonyms.
They're not synonyms.
You could not look up in any dictionary of synonyms and look up cable and find transmission.
Well,
or
for
look
that
up
matter,
neither
is
cable.
Booster and fan are not synonyms.
Oh, you look up fan man and you'll find booster. You do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so these terms can come from cars.
When you look up tire, you'll find exhaust.
These terms can come from cars of today or yesteryear.
Yeah. Okay. American, foreign, or from France.
Right.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah,
so, and the reason the puzzler is going to drag on for many weeks is that we have to give people a chance to develop these lists. And we're not going to, I mean, it would be unfair for us to award the prize to the first person that mailed in 10 or 15 things. There may be hundreds.
There may be, we had trouble thinking of the second pair.
Yeah, we certainly did. And this is not just quantitative, it's also qualitative. I mean, we're going to be looking at these very closely.
Yes. And as my brother pointed out, the best part about this puzzler is that you have to do all the work, not us.
Right. So if you think you have a submission.
Now, what if someone thought that he or she had an idea and wanted to enter into the contest here?
I wouldn't have the foggiest idea. If you think you know the answer, write them. If you think you know the answers or submissions, if you have submissions, write them on a piece of paper and mail that paper to us at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238. And if we choose your submission at random from among all of our correct submissions, we'll send you a copy of The Best of Car Talk on CD or cassette or whatever, which is now listed in the Consumer Reports 1996 list of audio products to avoid. If you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Linda calling from Cambridge.
Cambridge,
Massachusetts,
what?
England?
Our fair city?
Our fair city.
No kidding. We hardly ever get calls from our fair city. Everyone here knows us too well.
Well, I'll give you some background.
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago, I needed to get a new car. And I'd been driving an old Volvo, which was costing me a lot of money in repairs.
What year was it?
73.
Ooh, bad year.
And and I needed a car that I could drive my dogs around in.
Mm-hmm.
So, your esteemed producer gave me the excellent advice of getting a Toyota Corolla wagon.
No kidding.
Yes. Oh, you know why? Because I gave him that same piece of advice.
Ah. Well, I've been very happy with it. So have the doggies.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, here's
how many dogs do you have, Linda?
I have to laugh here because our producer, Dougie, is sitting here saying, his voice sounds awful familiar, but who the hell is this? Because he just figured out who it is. He's got it now.
He says he used to go out with a girl named Linda.
She had a couple of dogs.
Yeah, so you got this great Corolla wagon.
And I couldn't have been happier with his advice.
Yeah.
So now he's given me some more advice. He thinks we should get married.
Yeah.
And so I put to you, did he use up all his good advice? Or should I go for it?
Gee,
no.
Wow, we've never had a question of such import in our
such
lives.
Such magnitude.
Wow.
I mean, when did he make this? This is taking
shock.
My breath away.
Taking your breath away? What about the chick he was out with last night? What do you think she feels about
me? I'm taking care of her.
She's now in the cellar.
With the dogs. And they haven't eaten for 4 days. He really did pop the big question?
Well, in a sense, yes.
Sip, I'm thrilled.
I'm amazed.
Well, for those of you who haven't figured this out, this happens to be not just Linda from Cambridge. This is Linda Sipperstein from Cambridge, California, points east, west. And Dougie's been going out with Linda for, God, it must be 15, 20 years.
Yeah, something like that.
And he finally broke down.
Well, I finally broke down.
Oh,
oh.
You finally broke down.
Yeah.
You asked him, huh?
Well, listen, like anyone who is planning to buy a used car,
yeah,
and wants to,
which you're essentially doing.
Right, this is an analogous situation.
He's about as used a guy you could ever find.
You want to make sure you have a couple of really good mechanics to stay on top of it.
That's true. So, and you want to make sure you have it completely checked out.
Exactly.
Right, he needs a compression test.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can get his rap sheet for you. I'll get my friend to do that.
Right. He needs an emissions test.
Yeah.
How does he ever?
Sure.
No, I definitely do the emissions test.
You're telling me.
You should have been in our meeting the other night.
I think definitely his catalytic converter is gone.
Well, I won't go in for this unless the two of you conduct the ceremony.
Well, you've got it.
All right.
We can do it on our new boat. Because we'll be co-captains of the boat, which will give us powers of matrimony, right?
There we go.
Right.
And you're on, kid.
All right.
We'll be there.
I'm thrilled, Linda. I am thrilled at this news.
Good work, Dougie.
Thanks for calling and letting us know.
And the rest of the world as well.
My pleasure.
See you, Sip.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Holy cow.
Dougie, that's good. Woo. This is serious business.
I can't go on.
I can't either. We're done. That's it.
We're done.
Read the credits and let's get out of here.
I mean, what could top that?
What could top that? Nothing.
Nothing. Well, you've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, pumpkin lips, soon to be married.
Whoa.
Berman. Boy, never
I can't
thought,
picture it.
Never, no, I can't either.
I can't.
Never thought you'd say those words. Married? Berman? Shh. Married?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, we always said, who the hell would marry him?
Yeah.
Is what we usually said.
He had to tie two pork chops around his neck. But anyway, it just proves that there's someone for everyone.
It just does prove that. Yeah. And luckily, she doesn't know.
She hasn't figured it out yet, yeah.
Because she certainly
she
deserves
She seems like
better.
Such a bright young
She's
lady,
a
too.
She's a bright, attractive young woman, and she deserves better than Doug Berman.
Yeah, no sense of smell, I guess. Our associate producer and the dean of the College of Automusicology is Ken Ed Grimley Rogers. Our engineer and assistant producer is Jennifer Conifer Gonifer Loeb. And our technical advisor is, of course, John Bugsy Sebastian, Mr. Height, Sweet Cheeks, Free Lunch, Twinkle Toes, Hula Hips, Donut Breath, Gigabyte, the Snowblow King, Make That Two Triple Cheeseburgers, Lawler.
Hibernating Lawler.
Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our automotive medical researcher is Dr. Denton Fender. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julio Hemingway. Our jazz music coordinator is Bertha de Blues. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. My Foot. Our director of gender
I love him.
Is Amanda B. Reckoned With. Our director of country music is Stan Byerman. The chairman of our underemployment study group is Art Majors. Our fleet manager is Oscar De La Rental. Our director of Cadillac steering is Toulouse to Track. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our staff bikini waxer is Harry Movel. Our producer's office is furnished by Rick Kleiner. And of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known on the barred barrister's list in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. If you'd like a cassette copy of this week's show, which we'll call number 8.
Why not?
You can call Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division at its brand new number. I guess we outgrew John Burke's laundry room. Huh? The new number is 303-823-8000.
You can also order The Best of Car Talk by calling that same number, 303-823-8000. The Best of Car Talk comes with our unconditional money-back guarantee. We guarantee that you won't get your money back under any conditions.
Support for Car Talk is provided by National Public Radio member stations and NPR. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the network executives cringe when they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
These days, news comes at you fast. But the truth? Getting there takes time.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Embedded is a podcast that takes the time to look beyond the headlines.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
With original documentary storytelling. Listen to NPR's Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.